You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Strap yourself in and adjust your mirrors for maximum visibility. It's time for Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Brought to you by Drake Street Studios.
Kia ora, Kirsten. How are you this morning?
I'm awake and I'm confused by your song choices, but that's fine.
Hey, that's what we're here for here on 95 BFM. We're gonna bring a lovely sound to the listeners this morning. What are we talking about today?
This is the lap steel guitar, and wow. I mean, you know, we do a lot of topics on this show, but this has got one of the most sort of nerd bank rabbit holes you can go into.
Heck yeah, that's what we like to hear. I'm immediately going to hit it just to get the vibes going.
So you can hear that slidey guitar. That's the dobro lap steel guitar, all the same thing. And it's on your lap with a sort of a slide bar and picks. And as you probably hear from the sound, it's basically a Hawaiian instrument.
When did it kind of first sort of appear? What's its sort of origin timeline wise?
Beginning of the 1900s.
Okay, so it's a relatively recent instrument, I guess, in the sort of grand scheme of life, yeah.
And it's electrical and having the steel strings. And the Hawaiians started messing around with, you know, tunings. And Hawaiian music was the music in that time as far as pop music. It was distributed as sheet music. And it was just really popular in the States. The States was obsessed with Hawaii around that time.
Why was that?
Well, if they were getting Hawaii. Oh, here we go. Here's our song. Back in Kalakeku, Hawaii. I want to be with all the
Connies and Wahines that I knew long ago. This is a beautiful song. I can
hear all the Yeah, so this kind of music is called hapahale, which is sort of half foreign. And this kind of admixture of Hawaiian and jazz ragtime standards just was massive in the charts. It was part of Hawaii becoming a state and, you know, becoming part of the United States. I mean, it was sad for Hawaiians losing their sovereignty. We'll talk about that a bit more.
100%. And also there's an interesting thing, like, while this is beautiful music, there's also a like an exoticization, if I can say that word correctly this morning, of a culture. Like this is packaged for like a white American audience predominantly. Is that
absolutely
fair to say?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's sort of a fakey Hawaiian. But then later, Hawaiians, you know, played it, put their spin on it. So it's got this really long, interesting sort of history of resilience and reconstruction and reworkings.
Totally. A grand old place that's always fair to see. You're telling me I'm just a little Hawaiian. So this is Sol Hoopi?
Yeah, Ho'opi'i. Yeah, so he's Hawaiian and he's playing on it. It's 1933. He's the steel player.
Nice.
And you can hear ukulele as well.
Yeah.
And he hung out in LA, you know, performing, traveling.
We've already got texts about Bill Savesi as a legendary lap steel guitarist.
Well, 100%. So the lap steel is Hawaii and Nashville are the two places. But yeah, I would add a third, which is Aukelani, because I mean, we've got such a tradition of it here in our community.
Totally.
So this is our Nashville representative. This is Speedy West.
What a name. Speedy West.
The song doesn't sound speedy then.
No, this is like leisurely West.
Rippling Sorry. Waters. So in the 1920s, so we have the 1910s, this Hawaiian music really popular in America, and then some of these artists moving to Hawaii, I'm sorry, to Los Angeles and Hollywood, having sort of residencies. But also in LA now in the 1920s, you have sort of cowboys and ragtime and jazz, all sorts of music's happening. And somehow it became cowboy and country music, this instrument.
It's interesting how this does evoke, and I'm not sure exactly what's done it. Maybe it's like the context is so associated with the sounds, but you can hear, you know, the waves sound and that rippling sound, but also there's the kind of the clip-clop, the little, like, you know, cowboy horse moment in there. I don't know if anyone else feels that when they're listening to this type of music, but it is so evocative of those, you know, like, cliched images.
Yeah, and I think the vocal style too. You can hear it's like a singer.
Yeah.
You know? It can really slide around like the human voice can, so it can, you know, like the twangy cowboy singing. And then as well as the longing of the Hawaiian music.
Got a great text from someone saying, Nerd Bank rabbit hole, yes. That's exactly why I'm sat in my car early for work crocheting while listening. You're living the dream.
Oh my gosh. So like the Chicks, you know, one of their members plays it. So it's a big part of country music now. And such a weird, but you know what? They had cowboys in Hawaii. And so, you know, actually, surprisingly, they are a linked tradition.
So so nice, eh? The slide itself, what are they usually made out of, Kirsten? Because I know, you know, slides can be anything from a bottle top through to, like, a very specifically crafted piece of metal, but what are we usually working with?
It's a steel bar, but it's also the using of the picks and having steel strings, so you're really getting this metallic, electric-y sound. Now, this one is probably where most of your listeners...
of a certain age, at least, yeah.
This is from SpongeBob.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, that was a stellar call.
Pua Paoa Kalani is 1994. But so you can hear the ukulele, so it's this proper Hawaiian style. And it's actually a tune composed by Queen Liliʻuokalani, Kalani, who was one of the last reigning Hawaiian queen. And she actually was a prolific composer.
She's an amazing person. I think that the tradition of kind of music that she's inspired is it's a whole, you know,
oh yeah, there's
book in itself.
Hole.
Yeah, that's its own rabbit hole. Yeah.
Well, because she wrote like the famous Aloha Oi, and to have her writing the songs, she's putting her understanding of Hawaiian genealogy, culture, poetics, her feelings about the loss of the monarchy, her understanding of politics, are all going into these songs.
For SpongeBob.
And poems.
Well, it's just being borrowed for some SpongeBob.
Incredible SpongeBob lore.
But I mean, SpongeBob is set in Bikini Bottom, and you think about Bikini Atoll and spaces of nuclear testing in the Pacific, you know.
SpongeBob and The Simpsons are actually both, well, obviously The Simpsons is like straight into cultural commentary. Mm-hmm. Low-key SpongeBob is as well. You go back and you watch that.
Oh, yeah.
It's full of little bits that would have flown over your head when you were 10, but, you know, they're in there. It's
unfortunately,
quite...
Unfortunately, the jokes still hold up for me as well.
So. Oh, it's a great TV show. Love SpongeBob. We've had a couple of very good texts in about some other local legends. Levi Gemmel from Liao being a fantastic contemporary tamaki example, was up on the stage before Tenarawin the other night, actually playing beautiful slide guitar.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, really, really nice. Someone says it's a little known fact that pineapples are found under the sea in Hawaii. Try.
Well, you know, but also, you know, having this current new wave of young people, you know, I say young people, but people playing it, and with social media and online, you can have this next generation keeping community and keeping this amazing sound alive.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kirsten. What a lovely way to start a Friday morning. I hope you have a great weekend. I'm feeling very ready for it now, listening to that music, and we will talk to you again next week.
Aloha.
Aloha.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimke.
Brought to you by Drake Street Studios.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.